You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
And before we start, obviously, I've got Chelsea up here, and Chelsea's going to teach again today, and I'm excited about that. But one of the things that I want to do is I want to keep teaching you guys, and I want to keep training you guys why here at Real Church, let me just be really honest, I allow women to teach inside of our church. When I was a kid growing up, inside of churches, a woman couldn't teach, but a woman could get up and share a story. She could give a testimony. She was allowed to give a talk that would include scripture. There would be principles and points. Are you with me there, Emily? Right? There would be principles and points that would absolutely be applicable to my life, but that wasn't a sermon because that would be wrong. And what I want to share with you guys is where my heart is as your pastor. And there's a couple things I want to share with you guys is churches get to do church the way they want to do it, okay? Just like inside of this church, you guys get to parent your kids the way you want to parent your kids, and you're going to create your own problems with your parenting style. We're going to do our church the way we want to do our church, and we're going to create our own problems with our parenting style. Now, there are some rules that are very clear in Scripture, and I want to be honest with you guys. You know, I had somebody come to me and go, you know, Pastor Nathan, I can't believe that you allow a woman to preach from the pulpit. Scripture teaches a woman can't preach from the pulpit. To which I thought, oh, thank you. Would you please open your Bible? I will give you all 66 books. I will give you the maps. I will give you all of the equations with the money system. I will even give you the concordance, and I will even give you the topical. In fact, I'll give you the front of the leather Bible and the back of the leather Bible. Find the word pulpit. It's not there. Now, what I want to let you guys know is in our church, we have two functioning elders. That is in Scripture. Okay, the two functioning elders in our church are myself and Pastor Mike. We have a junior elder in training, and he is very junior. Okay, hi, Nick. Okay, and Nick is in training, and he's learning. He doesn't want to be an elder. Amen? Right? Because eldering is not fun. But what we have inside of our church is we have a group of elders who oversee and lead the church, and we are in charge. Ultimately, I'm your head elder. So I want to let you guys know we still have the function of what Scripture teaches. Now, the next one is only elders can teach. That's not in Scripture either. Okay? There are some elders who teach and some elders who don't teach. I happen to be able to do both. So the next question is if I'm your leader, I'm your pastor, I'm ordained, I'm licensed, I'm your functioning elder, and I'm in charge of the church, who can I give authority and empower to use their gifts inside of the church? The answer is anybody and everybody that has that gift. Does that make sense? So inside of our church, we are a church that believes that the Holy Spirit has gifted people. Amen? And we're real church, which means we don't like the gifts that we've received. Amen? And we want somebody else's gift, right? And then the gift we have, we don't want to use. But at Real Church, we're going to use our gifts for the Lord. And we're going to worship God as best we can. And so I have Chelsea here, who does have the gift of teaching. You guys have seen her do it, okay? And the Holy Spirit is upon her, and the Holy Spirit moves through her. But then there's some things that we have to deal with. Is our pride in the way whether a male teacher is teaching or a female teacher is teaching? And the answer is yes. Our pride says, here's the word of God, here's Scripture, don't do it. And we have to move to our spirit, and our spirit says, that's the word of God, how about we do it? So that's my prayer over all of us in this room. That's my prayer over Chelsea. That's Imtani when she gets up to teach. Nick when he gets up to teach. Mike when he gets up to teach. And me when I get up to teach. That we would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak the words that we're supposed to be obedient with. And that the Holy Spirit speaks the words inside of your heart that you need to hear, and that ultimately all of us bow down and worship and we're obedient. Amen? Amen. All right, that was a mini sermon. So now I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Chelsea. Thank you so much for her heart. Thank you, God, that this sermon had to go into her. It had to reside in her. It had to rattle around, and she had to live it out. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for her sacrifice for our church this week. God, I know this week was tough and rough, and that's usually the thing that happens to the teacher of the week. And so, Father, I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through us as a church, we just ask, God, that you would bless her and Darren for their faithfulness and for their courage. Lord, bless us with ears to hear so that our lives might change and we might worship you, Holy God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Wow. Thank you, Pastor Nathan, so much. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, everybody. When we were actually preparing and planning for this series, for this teaching today, it was kind of cool to see the parallels between getting to teach at a university and getting to teach here, because at the university, I have the authority to be a professor from the chair of my department, the dean of my college, the president of the university, the provost, the board of trustees. They all give me the authority, and so it's really amazing to now see the connection between Pastor Nathan, the authority he has, and the authority that he gets directly from God. So it's a really just an honor and a privilege, and I'm so grateful and thankful to be here. So today we are talking about restful remembering. And I don't know about you guys, I'm so forgetful. It's bad. We had new neighbors move in yesterday, and we probably had to ask them three different times their names. And then Darren still had to text it to me so we have it in writing so we can reflect on it later, because we already forgot again. You know, there are so many things that I take for granted each day. Again, when we were planning this, we talked about at one point maybe putting up a picture of Darren and I at our wedding. I'm not going to do that. There are so many things about my wedding day that when it was happening, I just took for granted. Yeah, this is a big day. I'll remember this. And then slowly over time, I forgot them. And pictures help remember, but like our first dance. I was a pre-professional dancer, and I forget our first dance. We don't have it on video. And my husband choreographed it. That was a cool thing. And because I didn't purposefully remember, I've since forgotten. And so I'm so grateful, not just to talk about remembering and the importance of remembering, but how do we remember from a restful place? And I think it's really important to talk about remembering because the stories we tell remind us of who we are. We are humans. We are made up of stories. These stories aren't just anecdotes. They aren't just, hey, remember what happened last Tuesday. They remind us of who we are, our values, what we have done, where we have been, where we have come from. And as we put those stories together, we learn more and more and more about ourselves and our journeys. But what are the stories that we need to remember? As so many of the teachings that Pastor Nathan does, there's really two kind of different types of stories. One is our physical and one is our spiritual. Our physical story is our physical family, our genealogy, which is so cool now that we have 23andMe, we have Ancestry.com. It's easier than ever to access that side of our genealogy now and to figure out, oh, I thought I was all this, but now I'm kind of this and a little bit of that, and what? I'm part shepherd too. Like, it's just crazy. But those genealogical stories tell us where we come from physically. They tell us our background, and sometimes they really surprise us. But there's also our spiritual family. There's the spiritual side of where we come from. And I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Hitch, but there's a fantastic line in the movie Hitch. You don't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. And not only does our physical family tell us a lot about ourselves, but our spiritual family, where we are from, tells us a lot about where we're going. And so remembering is a process by which we gather so much information, remember so much information, and think through potentially too where we are going. So today we're going to spend time in 2 Peter. If you have your Bibles with you and want to turn to there yourself, we're going to be spending some time in 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. But before we jump there, point number one today is that being restful allows me to remember. That being restful allows me to remember. When I'm busy, when I'm caught up in the chaos, when I'm caught up with that high achieving, constantly doing, my mind is split in a million different ways. We think we're multitasking, which again is not a real thing, but that's not a conversation for today. We think we're multitasking. We think we're doing all these different things. And really, our mind is split in so many ways that we aren't forming memories. We aren't remembering. When I'm exhausted, when I'm anxious, when I'm stressed, it shifts the lens that I'm seeing those memories through. It prevents me from remembering. It also prevents me from remembering from a place of truth. I'm remembering from stress and anxiety and worry. I'm not remembering from a foundation of truth. But when I am restful, when I pause, I can remember the truth and I can build on that foundation all the other memories that follow. When I'm anxious and worried and stressed, I'm afraid of what could happen. I'm afraid of the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. I'm stressing about all the what ifs. And I lose sight of what has been. I lose sight of what has happened. Again, I lose sight of the truth. But when I'm restful, when I'm practicing being restful, I can remember. So when we are able to not look at memories from anxiety and worry and stress, it frees us, right? Now, there's that lens of looking through at anxiety, worry, stress. But there's also the lens of nostalgia, which also falsifies memories. Those good old days, right? Now, there's a survival mechanism to that we have selective memory and we choose to remember only the positive. And there is sometimes some value in that. But again, it's not rooted in the truth. And when I'm only selecting certain things to remember, those are actually falsified memories. So it's still not allowing me to really remember from a basis of truth. But being restful allows me to remember, and it allows me to remember truth. So we're going to jump into 2 Peter. And a little bit of background here. This is Peter's last message. He knows that his time on earth is coming to an end. And this is his opportunity for his final note. This is everything that he wants to get down that he thinks is important to say before he leaves this planet, before he leaves Earth. And above all, he realizes that for Christians, the most important thing to remember is our Lord Jesus. Above all, if anything else we forget, remember Jesus. And that's the context that we're going to jump into in 2 Peter today. So we'll start in chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power. So right away, Peter points us to Jesus. His divine power, the divine power of Jesus Christ, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, through the remembering of him, who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Peter isn't nostalgic. He doesn't cut out the bad things. He remembers, but he remembers what Jesus has done. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge, in the remembering of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, these virtues, these things that God builds in us, enable us to keep growing in the remembering of Jesus. They enable us to keep growing in the knowledge of Jesus. They help us remember. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins, having forgotten the truth. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Practice. It's not something we do once. It's not something we learn once and we're good. We got it. I'm out. We practice. Peter is calling us and urging us to practice. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those things that we work on this side of eternity, Peter is telling us they're provided for us in the eternal kingdom. They're provided for us on the other side of eternity. Verse 12, therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I get you know them, but I'm going to keep reminding you of them. I'm going to bother you and keep harping on this. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall, to remember these things. When's the last time you helped someone else remember? Here, Peter is saying he's going to do everything in his power to help us remember the truth. Everything in his power to remind us of Jesus, to remind us of that truth before he's taken. And we have that opportunity too. When someone that we're with is struggling remembering, we have the opportunity to help them remember, to help them come back to the truth. When's the last time you got to give that gift to somebody? Is there someone right now in your life who is struggling to remember that you might help them remember? So point number one was that being restful allows me to remember. Point number two today is that restful remembering provides an insight to our identity in God. And that's what Peter's telling us. He's reminding us of sinful desires. He's reminding us of where we've come from, but he's also reminding us of everything that Jesus has done for us, that he has cleansed us, that he's reconnected us with God. And that helps me, that restful remembering helps me not just remembering who I am physically from my genealogy and my family, but remembering who I am spiritually, remembering where I come from, remembering who my spiritual father is, who my spiritual family is. Point number one was being restful allows me to remember. Point number two was restful remembering provides insight to our identity in God. Point number three, restful remembering connects past, present, and future. I think sometimes we think of remembering as only the past, right? Remembering literally points to something happening again, being in the past. But actually, when we bring those stories into the present, we're not only connecting the past and seeing how it connects to today, we're also creating that path to where we're potentially going. It helps us see our growth, how much we've grown, how far we've come. A couple weekends ago, I had the opportunity to go back and visit West Virginia, where we lived for 4 years while I was in grad school. And I hadn't been back for a year, and I got to go see a dance recital for a studio where I taught all 4 years when we were out there. And again, I hadn't seen these kids in a year. And I was floored with how much they had grown. Not just physically, though they were so much taller, but their maturity, their quality of movement, their emotional nature, they had just grown in every single way you could imagine. And I would have conversations and they'd be like, oh yeah, no, a little bit. No, 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 like a lot, like so much growth in a year. And they had seen them every day, and so it wasn't as easy to see. I was just talking to somebody this morning about how much our kids in this church have grown and how crazy it is. And in my mind, Josh is still this tall, and now he's not. And so remembering helps us see how far we've come. It helps us see our growth. And that's what Peter's talking about in these verses as well. What Peter also reminds us, and the reason connecting past, present, and future is important, is because that means we don't arrive. Again, we're practicing, we're working, we're retooling, we're reminding this is an adventure. We're on a journey. We're not trying to get to a destination. We do not arrive. We remember as part of the journey, as part of the process to get us to where we're headed. So point number one, being restful allows me to remember. Point number two, restful remembering provides insight to our identity in God. Point number three, restful remembering connects past, present, and future. And point number four is that restful remembering needs to be practiced. Needs to be practiced. And Peter says that very blatantly. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Again, I know I'm not the only one who forgets things, right? When we don't remember things deliberately and intentionally, it's very easy to forget them. What gets in your way of remembering? What's the thing that prevents you from remembering well? Now, for those of you who realize we're already on point four and are thinking this is either going to be the shortest sermon in the history of Real Church or this is going to have the most points in the history of Real Church, stay with me. I promise we're going somewhere. So if restful remembering needs to be practiced, then why not live it out? Why not practice? Why not do that work here and now? There's no better time than the present, right? So what we're actually going to do today is we're going to practice remembering. We're going to practice remembering the story of Real Church. Now, this is not just about how Real Church got started. It's not just the story of the Browns, though that's a very important story. That's a very important part of Real Church. But the story of Real Church is actually made up of each individual story of every person in this room, of every person watching online, of everyone who couldn't be here today. That's the real, complete story of Real Church. We are the body of Real Church. We are the body of the church. And so it's our stories that make up the story of this church. So I'm going to invite some people to come up and hang out with me and answer some questions. Unfortunately, we don't have time for everybody to come up, though I would love that. So we're going to have some people come up and tell their stories, their story of Real Church. And then we're going to wrap it up with Pastor Nathan coming up too. And we're just going to remember the story of our church and how we got to where we are today. And we're going to connect those dots. So Alexis, would you mind coming up with me first, my dear? Let's give her a little bit of encouragement. I'm going to hand that to you.
Hi.
Pick a stool, any stool. Where would you like to go? You want to go there? Wherever you feel comfortable, love. All right. So, Miss Alexis, would you please start off by telling us a little bit about when Real Church became your home and what that moment was like starting at Real Church?
Okay. Yeah. So, I would consider that Real Church became my home when we moved here, when we started, which there's some controversy with that, whether it was 2012 or 2013. It was one of those. I don't know. I don't want to, like, make anyone mad, so I'm just saying one of those. And the moment getting called to Real Church was, or I guess I would consider it the moment that, like, my parents told me, my brother. So God called my mom on Super Bowl Sunday when Pastor Nathan gave a sermon at Sandals. And a week later, my parents came to my brother and I, and they took us in a room into our in our old house in California, which is our homeschool room, because there was a map in there. And they sat us down, and I don't remember exactly what they said. Okay. It was something along the lines of, like, you know, Leah and Shay are moving to Chicago, and Pastor Nathan and Danielle. We were like, yeah, but, like, Leah and Shay mostly, because that's who we knew. And they said a whole bunch of information and was talking a lot about God, but see, I was still stuck on, like, the Chicago thing, and I wasn't listening to anything they were saying because I was just like, where the heck is Chicago? I don't know. I was like 9. I don't know. I knew a whole bunch about world history and where things were in the world, but Chicago? I don't know where that was. So they were talking and talking, and I could tell my brother wasn't really listening, and I was just like, where's Chicago? And then at the end, they were like, okay, like, kids, say something. And I was like, where is Chicago? And then that's when they turned to the map, because they were very smart, and picked a room with a map in it and showed us where Chicago was. And I was like, oh, that's far, and it's by the lake that looks like a football. It doesn't look like a football. Michigan does not look like a football at all. I don't know where I got that I meant, but that's what I said. And I guess, like, at the time, I didn't realize how big it was. Mm-hmm. And because, I mean, I didn't even know where it was. But it was definitely, like, being called so young, I didn't realize how big of a thing it was, I guess. And also, like, but I'm really glad that God called my family here and all of you here. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for your honesty. I hardly know where Chicago is, and we've lived here for 5 years. If you had to guess, and I know this is a big question, but based on your time here, you've been here for 7 years now, why do you think God brought you into the Real Church family?
That's hard.
I know.
I feel like, obviously, it was a part of his plan for my life and all of our lives to be called here. And as scary as that is, I feel like I think God called me here because he knew that's what I needed in my spiritual life. Like, I don't know what my life would have been like if I didn't come to this church, because, like, I feel like the adults have been such great, like, role models for me in this church. Like, I remember being so mad when I was little. Like, I have to be in big church. Like, I have to sit in big church and listen to the big sermons, and I can't just go into the kids' church. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to, I don't know how I'm supposed to do that or listen. But I was kind of mad at you, Pastor Nathan. But but now I realize how great that was, and how being here in this church has grown me so much and helped my spiritual life mature more than I ever could have thought when I was 10 or 9 years old or whatever. And I just want to also thank you all for letting kids sit in church, because I can speak from experience that I learned so much sitting with you all, and it helped, like, that we kind of, most of us had gone through that move, and seeing and having you guys able to help me through that as a kid and now. So yeah, thank you.
So you transitioned, you did the work for me. Thank you for this. Oh. You mentioned that God has really grown you since you've been here. Can you share a little bit, if you were willing, how God has grown you since you've joined Real Church?
Yeah, so God has grown me a lot. And when you sent the questions, I was like, I don't know if I really, like, grew because of Real Church or if it was just, like, maturing naturally.
Yeah.
But it definitely was growing both, like, naturally and because of Real Church. And I feel like I've grown, I know, one thing, I don't know if this is, like, the answer to the question, but one thing that when I moved out here, I prayed a lot for friends, and friends are really big for me because I'm an extrovert. And it's just one thing that I can look back and see that that prayer was answered. Mm. So that's something that has kind of grown, like, physically yeah. for me is, yeah. like, having friends here. Because we did this thing where we had rocks, and we wrote a prayer that had been answered since we were called to Chicago, and a prayer that we wanted to be answered. I don't know what my one that had been answered was, but I remember I wanted to pray for, like, friends at school, and that was answered, and I can see that growth physically, I guess, yeah. from when I moved out here, which is really cool, because I honestly, when I wrote it on the rock, I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to make friends, so I'm really glad that that was answered, yeah, and that I grew in that way, too.
Beautiful. Is there anything else about your story that you would like to practice remembering here?
Well, I would like to say that we left California mm-hmm. to drive here on my birthday. And that's interesting to remember. I'm actually writing that in my college essay right now. So I just think that's so funny to remember, that I woke up at 5 a.m. on October 10th in 2012, and I got to choose where we ate on the road trip, so.
Nice.
So,
happy birthday.
I mean, I had my grandma's scones and bacon in the morning. We had Chick-fil-A for lunch because I love Chick-fil-A, and then Olive Garden for dinner because that's what I liked when I was 10, and that's what I and that's what I'm remembering, so, yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Lexi. Thank you, beautiful. Thank you, thank you. All right, John, would you mind coming up? Yay, John. For you, sir. If you need more space, please feel free to move. All right, thank you for coming up. Appreciate you. So same sort of round of questions. So first and foremost, when did Real Church become your home and your beautiful wife as well? And what was that moment like of getting called to Real Church, finding Real Church? Yeah.
Well, as far as getting called here, I remember me and Renee were in a really tough season. We had had a crazy engagement leading up to our wedding and then the wedding. And afterwards, we felt God calling us to look for a new church. So we spent a lot of time looking in the area, went to 5 or 6, maybe different churches. And at the end of the day, we're just kind of like, I don't think this is it. You know, we need to keep looking. And the guy who officiated our wedding was Tim Bailey, who had been here, I don't know, a year or so ago, maybe. and he preached. He was a guest speaker here. And he's actually Renee's best friend's dad. So we kind of shared with him. We were like, hey, we're looking for a church. We can't find it. We're not finding anything really in our area where we live. And he said, go check out. I've been meeting with this guy, Nathan Brown. He seems pretty cool. It seems like he's doing something new over there. And why don't you go check it out? So this was actually the last church that we checked out on the list. And we looked it up on Google, and we found the address. And we came on a Sunday, and Tawny was preaching that morning. And she preached on the Holy Spirit. And I was a guy coming from Moody, I'm like, Holy Spirit, okay. You know, that's here? Okay, where is he? You know? So that was great, you know, just hearing that. And at the end of it, I was like, we need to come back next week. And that was kind of the story of us coming in here. As far as, I don't really have a definitive date as when it actually became home. I think it was when I started getting texts from different guys and, you know, meeting with people and developing those relationships and getting involved with a few things and kind of feeling like I have somewhat of a role to play, you know, in what we're doing here. So, yeah, I would say that was kind of our story coming here, and that's kind of when it started to feel like home for us, when we started developing those relationships.
Fantastic. And why do you think God has placed you in Real Church?
I think there's a lot of things there. I mean, just a little bit about my background. I come from a church that was kind of super legalistic, hard, running into the ground. If you're not doing something 24 hours a day, you're not doing something for God. So I think God has brought me here, and he's really been slowing me down in the process. And it's just fun, you know, we're talking about rest, and I've never heard a sermon series at another church about rest. I've actually heard it said there's no resting with God. That's been told to me many different times. So, but I fight it. I still fight it because that's what I'm used to, and I feel that God is using this church to kind of break me of that, and also to show me what community is, because I think in this city, it's a very transient type of city where people are coming and going and moving, and there's not a lot of people who stay and commit, and I know that I've been like that my whole life, so I feel like God's really challenging me to commit to a group of people and a church and to stay. So I feel like those are the main things that he's challenging us with right now.
And I think, again, that leads beautifully and then into the last question of, how do you feel he's growing you? How's he growing Renee? How is he growing you guys? How have you seen that work since you've been here?
I think definitely in the area of community, because both of our personality types, we want to flee any type of community, and that's just the honest truth. So I think we've grown a lot in reaching out to people and being involved with things, in kind of trying to be contributors instead of critics, which I think can happen a lot of times. And also, just growing us in this rest.
Yeah.
That's been the biggest deal for us, I think, since we've been here, and the most challenging. And also in our marriage. I mean, we're around lots of married couples here, and people have been speaking into our lives. So I think God has used you guys and the solidarity and the community to kind of give us a mirror and an example of what we're shooting for. So, that's a few of the areas.
Fantastic. Is there anything else about your story that you want to practice remembering?
I think the beer and Bible, being involved in that, is probably what I remember as one of the highlights of being here and being part of that group, and being part of a group of guys who get together and open up and talk about things that are really going on. And not just, you know, God is good all the time, which he is. But God is growing me through this thing right now, and it sucks.
Yeah.
And I need you guys to come around me and help me through that.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's something good to remember.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, John. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you. The Smiths, would you guys like to come on up? You're going to have to mic share. I hope you don't mind.
I'm already crying.
I brought the box up. I brought the box up. You're good. You're good. Thank you for coming up. Appreciate you guys. All right, so again, same kind of line of questioning. When did God call you to Real Church, and what was that process like for you guys?
A crazy, wild ride.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
That had nothing to do with each other.
I didn't know this chick before we moved out here.
Yeah.
Crazy stories. And you will see how they converge. Wind the clock back 2011. I get a phone call from this guy. My previous job when I lived in California, I was traveling a fair amount. I was outside of Barnes & Noble, and I get a phone call from Nathan. He's like, hey, I want you to pray about coming to Chicago with me. And I'm like running errands, doing stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Massive anxiety the next 2 days, like can't focus at work, short of breath, vision blurry. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And apparently I have issues with anxiety. Anybody else? Yeah? I'm not alone. Sweet. Yes.
It's a party.
I know, right? So praying through that, like dragging my feet, like, okay, well, maybe I'm doing this Chicago thing. My buddy Eddie is like, you're a single dude, and you have no responsibilities except for yourself. You're the perfect candidate to move to Chicago. And I'm like, shut up, you truthsayer. I don't want to hear it. And I always used to joke that, like, oh, if God ever calls me to move to Indiana, I'm going to move to Indiana. God's like, well, I'm not going to call you quite that far. It's only 30 more miles, but not quite that far. Geography. Look it up on Google. I thought that would have landed a little better. I know.
He's all mine.
Yes. So, like, I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe, like, 2013, I'll move out there, wait until I get a job, like, find an apartment. And God's like, no, through multiple people. You're going to move out there without a job, and you're going to live with people that you've never met before, and it's going to be great because I'm going to be with you the whole way. And in hindsight, it was. But it wasn't so much in the moment, mm-hmm. So it was a crazy, wild ride coming out here. I remember walking into we had these, like, kind of like discovery groups where, like, everybody was, like, kind of thinking, I'm going to go to Chicago, I'm not sure. We're meeting at Nathan's house. I walk in, and I knew Mike outside of the group, and he asked me, like, I walk in the door, he shakes my hand. He's like, so are you praying about going to Chicago? And this is, like, after I process it, I'm like, no, I'm in. He's like, oh, so you're still trying to figure it out? Because, like, everybody else is, right? Like, no, I'm in. God said it, so I'm just going for it. Hmm. Yeah, it was nuts. I moved out here with, like, $5,000 in my pocket and, like, an old car that barely made it out here and no job. And some of you guys remember that car. Old 79 Mercedes station wagon with over 300,000 miles on it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a crazy story.
Wow. Miss Holly?
I was actually started coming to Sandals. I had only been involved in the women's ministry and then started coming to Sandals on Sunday just around... like right before Super Bowl Sunday. And so I was there for Super Bowl Sunday and the message. And I'm like, oh, I remember that guy. He taught something before. Okay. And like he's talking. And I'm like, that's a good idea, you know. And I've been involved in missions and church and ministry, all the ministries. You know, I grew up in church. And I was just kind of burnt out and looking for a place, you know, not to be doing all those things. And so I'm like, my brain's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Oh, bring people with you. Great idea. Wow, that's a really good and like, you know, really relational. Yeah, what a good idea. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, he's finishing talking and then God's like, you're going to Chicago. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't put that. Okay, well, I guess I'm moving to Chicago. And I was working as a ER nurse and I own my own home, and I was trying to, through this other church, get sent on the mission field and full-time and was not working. And so I thought God was, like, done with me doing that. And I was like, fine, I'll bake cakes, and I will go to church, and that will be fine. And God had other plans, so they went to Chicago. So I was leading worship for the women's ministry at the time, so it was meeting on the same night. So I, like, emailed him, and I'm like, hi, this is who I am. I'm committed, but I can't because I made this other commitment. So I'm leading worship, but I'll be there, you know. And I'm like, he's probably like, sure, that's nice, you know. But then I was like, okay, I'm done, and I'm here. Like,
jumped in?
Yeah. Just jumped in, yeah. And I didn't know this guy at all. But then once we got to know each other here, we had a lot of friends in common. Like, I have nurse friends, and he has musician friends, and they were all kind of married to each other. It was very weird. So, but, yeah, I didn't know him at all until we started leading worship here together, hanging out too much, getting sent to shows by people.
Anybody who's looking for a significant other, I definitely recommend Jay-Z, Justin Timberlake concerts for the first date. 5 years later, there you go.
Awesome. So you guys have touched on this already quite a bit, but I'd love to hear just more about why you think God brought you to Real Church.
It's ingrained in my memory from, you know, conversations with everybody as we were figuring out to move out here. God called us out here for personal transformation first, because if he doesn't do the work in us first, it doesn't matter what we try to do in the city.
Amen.
So for me, it was growing in how to be first aware that I had issues with anxiety and come to accept it and learn how to work through it. Realizing that I had, you know, family, genealogy, legacy issues with codependency. And I'm like, I hate that word. And now I just kind of like work with it. I've grown a fair amount in that, but I still got work to do. Yeah. Thank you. I tend to minimize too, so I need her.
Tons.
Tons.
Tons of growth. Now he needs me.
It's a both and. It's both. A both and.
Both and.
It's a both and.
It's great.
It's a both and. Yeah.
And it's the personal growth that God has done in me, you know, through people in this church, through my lovely wife. It's been then able to be worked out of me to help other people, mm-hmm. you know. You know, other things too, like I played guitar at the church we were at in California previously, but I didn't sing. And a friend of mine, some of you guys may know her, her name's Fabi. She was helping us out from Soul City when we first started here at Real Church. And she's like, you could sing, just do it. In this like beautiful, simple way that you have no way to argue against. I'm like, no, I can't. That's why I play guitar. And she's like, no, just do it. Just try. And she just wait, and like in this awkward pause, and like try to like sing and figure it out. And here I am, like years later, having grown from like not being able to sing a tune to like figuring stuff out, and now singing fairly confidently every Sunday. It's like now I can sing my kid to sleep at night, you know. And I do that every night, which is cool. So yeah, just growth all over the board, really, in me personally. You know, helping out with music as well. Just tons of stuff.
Awesome.
I was just thinking about it when we were sitting here and God was just saying, you are lost. You are lost in church. And I had to get you out. And I just had this visual of this like mole. This mole just like digging and just like knowing there was more, you know, and just so stuck in that one place that everyone was telling me was that's all there is, you know, you just serve and serve and you say the right thing and then, you know, you just keep doing it and eventually if you just stop doing, you know, the bad things, you'll be doing better, you know, and yeah. I just was so lost and frustrated and burnt out, you know, and because if you're gifted, obviously you're called to serve. And if you're gifted in multiple things, obviously you're called to be doing all the things and lead all the things, and here's the VBS notebook.
Yeah.
See you at the end of the summer. Like, I look back and I'm like, this is crazy, you know, like, but I was lost in it because I wanted to serve God, and that's what everyone told me it looked like, and so I'm here, and I have more a long list of the things I'm not doing anymore, and so... Amen. When you ask me where I'm growing, I don't know where the forward motion is, but I got a long list of the things that I've purposely stopped doing. So,
but that's tremendous growth. Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Is there anything else about your story that you would like to practice remembering, either individually or as a couple?
I think... God, when you take a step of faith to follow God to do something that is, like, ridiculously crazy on paper, literally write it down. You know, the phrase is, you know, the memory is only as good as the shortest pencil. Maybe butchering that or something, but it basically means write everything down. Because, you know, had I not moved out here, Like, I wouldn't have married this amazing woman that God has used in so many ways in my life to, and been on this journey with her. We wouldn't have our son, Miles, who exhausts us in every single way but is so adorable, and we love him dearly. And it's been blessing upon blessing that God has poured out on me, on our family, and on our church through the act of obedience. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear you state clearly, that isn't me. I'm not tooting my own horn. You know, God said, do it, and I'm like, okay. Kind of went for it. And God has blessed me, my wife, and our church incredibly. And then all of you guys here, too, for all of your obedience in taking that step and jumping in both feet and going for it. You know, I remember moving in, like, the very first day I got here in Chicago. Like, I moved out here. I was living with Alex. Siobhan wasn't in the picture yet. Tony and Rachel. And the first time, like, we got to our apartment on Spalding, and just we went over to Jeff Miller's house, and like we're in a basement in his basement, like doing this like Tuesday night Bible study or small group thing, and they're like, "How are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm here," because it's like, you know, you're in shock, because I like drove up like through what I thought was a safe route, and it was like through a sketchier part of Chicago. I'm like, "What the heck? Where am I?" You know. White guy from California, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. but it's when you take that step of obedience to follow God and give it anything and everything you can, God will stretch you. And it's an amazing process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just an amazing process.
Amen.
And painful, but amazing.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that to remember that you're here, and that's enough, you know. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this a lot, that you might be raging at God, you might have your fists up, you might be crying on the floor, broken, bleeding, but you haven't moved. You're still at God's feet, you know. You're still standing there. You're still right where he asked you to be, and he's still right there. And so the journey looks totally different, you know, but the piece of obedience that he's asking is that you just stay right there. And so, amen. We're staying right here.
Amen. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Miss Siobhan, would you like to come up, please? Yay. I mean, they brought you right into the conversation, so why not bring you up next?
Thanks, guys.
Would you mind sharing when you got called to Real Church and what that process was like for you?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember because I'm on very little sleep right now. Lots of the worship sounds are coming from my child running in the back of the room. But I just remember I had brought a team out because I was doing missions. That's what I was bred to do, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a church where it was you send money or you send people, you do missions, or you serve in the church. And that's what I grew up doing. That's the backbone of my college almost. And so I had brought a team to a United States project versus international, because I've been overseas like 5 times, and they were like, we're sending you to Chicago. And I was like, you're sending me to what? Like, we're sending you to Chicago. And I was like, okay, that's not a state, that's a place in a state. Where is Chicago? Illinois, I'm going to Illinois, cool. All right, I'm going here. And I was like, do I know anyone there? And I was like, I know there's a church plant because I was attending at Sandals at the time. And I was like, there's only one person that I think I really know that's in Chicago, a guy making sounds in the back of the room that I'm married to, is Alex, and he had led the team before. So I got on the phone, I was like, hey, I'm coming to Chicago. What should I know to prep this team of college students that, one, wanted to be overseas, but, two, are now going to be thrust into a city when they're all from the suburbs? Like, sure. What do I do with these people? And that started the conversation about Chicago with me and God. And I just remember I was a one-on-one aide at the same time, and the girl that I was an aide for was going to the house meetings at the Browns or at the Parcios, and her name was Taylor. She was in a wheelchair. And I just remember coming to a meeting, and it was like the cliff of death. I don't remember who's at party, what that was, down into their front. She's in a wheelchair, and I remember looking at her going, God, this is how I get fired, because I don't know how to get her to the meeting where she's really excited to go. And we got in, and I just remember meeting the Parcios and talking to the Browns a little bit. And the big thing in my memory is I just remember it finally hit Danielle at that meeting, because she broke down crying that they were going to leave. They were really leaving. They were leaving their life in Riverside. And it was the first meeting I had been to, and I was like, I'm just a fly on the wall in here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the severity of it. But I was like,
but they love you enough to do what you're asking, and I hope I'm that obedient one day.
Amen.
And so when I came to Chicago, I called Alex and was like, hey, I'm bringing my team. Not Taylor. The girl didn't come. She didn't end up coming. And she was going to ask me to move here and take care of her full time. And I was like, I'm not, no, that's not happening. But I brought my team, and we walked around, and I was like, okay, we were in the suburbs. And then we came to Chicago to visit and sightsee, and Alex was our tour guide, and it was like, this is what the church is doing. These are places you can walk. And I just remember going, this would be too easy. In my mindset, missions and sacrifice and serving was, I don't know the language. Mm-hmm. I have to be extremely uncomfortable, and I have to have a passport. I don't have a passport. I know the language, and I like it here. Yeah. Why would God send me someplace where I like it, and everything is convenient, and there's art everywhere? This is not, God's not going to call me to Chicago. This is a great trip. It was wonderful. You guys have weather. It's beautiful. My hair does great things here. I'm not going to live here. This was a great time, God. Thank you, and I'm out. I'll see you later. I'm going back to California.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, 2 months after that trip, we were here for 2 weeks. When we got back, it's like the middle of August, and I'm sitting at my desk in financial aid going, why do people hate me? I'm just answering the phone. And God goes, because you're not supposed to be here.
Hmm.
And I was like, but this is the job you gave me. I'm not qualified for this job. He's like, no, you're not. You're qualified for where I'm going. You're going to Chicago. And I was like, do you tell my mom that? I'm not. She's not going to let me go. And he's like, it's not about your mom.
Yep.
You're not supposed to be here. You're going to Chicago.
Yeah.
You should probably email Nathan. And I was like, and how does one find Nathan? He's like, don't worry. Someone will find you and tell you how to find Nathan. And I was like, oh, cool. Which was that guy in the back, still laughing. So I remember reaching out to Alex going, hey, I think I'm moving to Chicago. And he's like, what? I was like, yeah, I'm moving to Chicago. How do I get a hold of Nathan Brown? Because apparently that's who I'm supposed to be talking to. And he's like, Nathan asked me to call you, and I didn't do it yet. But apparently you called me. Yeah, you're supposed to be here. When are you coming? And I was like, cool. I don't know. What does that look like? Everybody else came with no job and no place to live. I came with a place to live. I came with two different jobs, and my story looks very different on that end because God was like, you need to already be there. And I kind of sort of dragged my feet for 4 months.
Okay.
But I want to say when Real Church Became Home was the first Sunday that I walked in, and everybody knew who I was because at that point we had started dating. And it was the, if you're broken down and if you're wearied and you're burnt out on religion, you can rest here. And all these people were just like, let's take care of you. We've already been through that. Let's Amen. Take care of you. And I was like, this is home. I'm here.
Amen. Thank you. Would you mind sharing a little bit, whatever you're comfortable with, how has God grown you since joining Real Church?
Oh, we've had a really good relationship, I think, most of my life. I'm one of those kids that was born into church and just that's been my relationship with God. I've heard him since I was young. And I remember getting here, and then he went really quiet and was like, you need to re-remember what I sound like in this new age in your life. You need to really remember what church is supposed to be and not what you thought it was. And so for a long time, I shut off all of my feelings and all of my emotions because I just needed to be fine because that's what we did at church.
Sure.
And I just needed to keep going.
Yeah.
And when I got here, I was told to stop and to sit and just be with my Father.
Amen. Amen.
And that for me has been huge because I've been able to love people better and not just do it and check it off a box. I've been able to actually invest in people, and I've actually been able to remember why God loves me.
Amen. 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 Is there anything else about your story that you would like to practice remembering?
Practice remembering. Well, one, I can't see out of this eye anymore.
That's fine.
Practice remembering. I want to say I want to practice remembering the love that I felt in this room when we went through probably our biggest loss.
Yeah.
And that instead of fear, all I could remember feeling was that our church was holding us. Yeah. And so I just want to remember that no matter where you are, if this is new, if you've been here the entire time, that we're being held.
Amen. Thank you, friendship. Thank you. Oh, you're so strong. Thank you. Oh, God. Cameron. Where'd he go? There he is. Cameron. Come on up, man. Cameron. There you are, sir. All right. Thank you for coming up. Thank you for...
Hello. Hi, I'm nervous.
Awesome. Will you share a little bit about when Real Church became your home and what that process was like for you?
Yes. So it was December of 2017 when I first started coming around here. That was So that was about a year and a half ago. I came to Chicago for a job in February of 2017 after college. I grew up in Western Michigan, went to college in Central Illinois, and then moved to Chicago. So I had been in Chicago for almost a year, and I was just trying to figure out life after college, basically. And up until coming to Real Church, I had always gone to the same church denomination. I grew up in this church called the Apostolic Christian Church of America. Really loved that church. It taught me a lot that I know about Jesus today. And I went to the same denomination when I went to college. And when I came to Chicago, I went to the same denomination again because we have congregations around the Midwest. When I moved to Chicago, I just wasn't really thriving when I first came to Chicago. And there's, I think, a lot of different reasons that play into that. Some of it's logistical, but ultimately, I think I just wasn't where God wanted me to be. And it was a process of figuring that out. But I'm young and single, and I have a lot of free time, and I didn't have a lot of outlets to, like, serve God. I didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't have a lot of community, so I wasn't thriving in a lot of ways. And I was recognizing that and started to wonder if I'm supposed to find a different church, and I started praying about that. And so I got on Google Maps and searched for churches near me. And found this weird church right around the corner from my apartment called Real Church. And I looked at the website and I saw pictures of smiling people. And I listened to one of the sermons and they preached on the Bible. I'm like, oh, that's good. Everything seems good from what I can see. So I just showed up. I just came over here, and I remember Pastor Nathan welcoming me. Everyone was really welcoming, and I just loved it here right from the start, and I felt so welcome, and I loved the community here. And then it was still a process of, like, figuring out, like, am I really supposed to be here? And it was just a process of coming to a point where I could see that, yes, like, I have so much to learn from these people, and this is going to be really good if I make this my home church. So I eventually did make this my home church and come here consistently. And it's been awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. And why do you think God brought you to Real Church? Besides the smiling people in the Bible.
I think that I just had a lot to learn from the people here, and the values that are really emphasized here, being real. Okay, it's funny. The whole real thing and be real with yourself and others and God has always struck me as being incredibly cheesy. That's so cheesy, but but it's like ironic because it was so what I needed to learn and what I needed to hear and what I needed to work on, and it has always been extremely difficult for me to be real with myself and others and God. I grew up in a family and in a culture where when you have issues and sins and insecurities, you just kind of deal with them within yourself and you just kind of figure it out by yourself. And when I came here, I was taught, no, like, you need to be honest. You need to be talking to people. You need to be totally honest and just walking through things with other people. And I'm still growing in that, and I'm still learning that and getting better at that. But I'm in such a better place now than I was before. I like what Matt said earlier. He said that you came here, you were called here first for personal transformation, and then whatever else God was calling you to do. I feel like I'm right in the middle of that personal transformation stage. And I don't know what God's calling me to do after this. I have no idea. But I'm looking forward to whatever that is.
Awesome. Is there anything else about your story you'd like to practice remembering?
I just always want to remember every individual who loved me in this church. Mm. There's just so many little instances of people loving me, and I just love so many people in this church. And yeah, I just always want to remember that.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. The man, the myth, the legend, Pastor Nathan, would you please come on up? Thank you, sir. I am stealing a line from you. We're going over, and I apologize, but...
You're in charge.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing stories, and if you are so willing, I'd love to ask you the same questions and kind of bring it all together from the bigger picture. So can you please share when Real Church became your home and what that process was like for you?
The honest answer is Real Church became Danielle's home first. Mm-hmm. God spoke to her, and through many things that were going on in Southern California, and like all things in life, unless there's labor pains, we don't give birth. Yeah. That's just the process of humans. And there was difficulty in my life of... realizing there were so many gifts inside of me. There were so many things that God kept pressing out in me that he wanted me to work in, and he wanted to change in me, and he wanted to reveal to me. And so all these things are churning in me, and Danielle and I were spending tons of time talking, praying, shouting, yelling, asking God, what in the world are you doing? And I believe that my wife and I, in November of 2011, it was the night before we flew out to Chicago, we were praying together in our bedroom, and we were talking, and we said, okay, God, give us, because I thought I was going to fly to Chicago, see a one-eyed guy with one arm or whatever, and he'd be like, this is what I want you to do next, and I'd be like, yay, that's the sign. And I'm just as shallow as everybody else in the room. So don't, just because I'm in charge doesn't mean I'm not the head idiot. So Danielle and I were praying, and I was moved to say, God, are you moving us to Chicago? And clear as day, I've heard God speak in his voice, but this one I just heard a yes in my soul. Mm. Yes. And it was one of those moments where we were praying together and we were holding hands, and I didn't want to look at her because I had heard an answer to what I asked out loud. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a moment, and uncomfortably insecure, I said, sweetheart, I heard an answer. Did you hear an answer? And she said, yeah, I heard an answer. And there was a part of me that wanted to be a loser husband and wanted her to lead first and for her to say what she heard so it wasn't going to be an argument later on, because what if they didn't match up? And I just said, babe, I heard God say we're moving to Chicago. And she said, I heard him say that too. And the next morning, Matt Smith drove us to Long Beach Airport. We got onto a JetBlue airline flying to our new home. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't know the name of the church, but we knew that this was going to be our home and starting that process.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel God has grown you through being a part of Real Church?
Man, there are many elements of me that are still the same from 2011 mm-hmm. and previous. Many of you guys have been around me for years, but there's so much of me that is completely different and not the same in any way, shape, or form. When I was in Southern California, I had this type A personality of pushing people and achieving things and building things. And I actually brought that out here to do that. And I don't think I've ever publicly apologized to everybody in the church. I'm sorry. I thought that's what we were supposed to do. And then the Holy Spirit showed up and said, no, I want to do something different with you. And it's not to say that what is being done somewhere else is bad. That's not the issue. The issue is this is what we're supposed to do here. Mm-hmm. And so that's the big thing that I've learned is that God really changed me, and I felt like I had to come here and I had to be the know-it-all, and I had to be the strong leader, and I had to be the administrator, and I had to be the shepherd, and I had to be all the things. And what I've really learned in this process is that God has blessed me and surrounded me with people that get to do a couple things. And all of us doing a few things collectively take care of everything. Mm-hmm. And so what I've really learned and what I've really gone through is a couple things. Number one, I'm really not that important. Two, there is a deeper level of faith that I keep getting called to. And I've learned that I go deeper and I have to deal with God. And then God stabilizes me, and then he starts taking everybody else behind me deeper. And then I can help kind of deal with the wounded. And then everybody gets kind of stabilized, and then I go down again. And what I've learned is my heart, and I was appreciative of what everybody has said, but also what Holly said, is there's something deeper. Mm. And that's just something that I've learned, is God just keeps taking me deeper. Mm-hmm. And there's every part of my flesh that doesn't want to go anymore. That's enough. Can we please quit? I feel like this is enough. I'm done. And God is like, yeah, but that's really not who you are. That's not your heart. And I'm like, you're right, God, but I'm afraid. And God's like, yeah, where we're going, that makes total sense. How about you trust me? And then just getting to that point of admitting I don't trust God, and then asking God to help me trust him. I mean, there's just the huge growth areas in my life.
Amen. What other aspects of your story would you like to practice remembering?
I agree with Matt. God brought me out here to change me. Mm-hmm. God brought my wife out here to change her. She has grown in so many ways. I've watched her just as my wife and as a woman of God just grow and expand in so many ways. When I went down with massive amounts of anxiety because I thought I had to build the church, I thought I had to earn money, I thought I had to go out and save everybody, I didn't think God could sustain anything, because, I mean, what does he do? Just creates the earth and makes it flow to nothing. So he probably can't care for me. And I got to sit back and just watch my wife grow into this giant. And one of my prayers was, as God started to heal me back up, was that Danielle would not take a step back, that I would join her where she was at, and that we could do ministry together. That has been something that's so huge for me to remember. I also, kind of remember one of my big prayers when God called me to Chicago was, I don't want to do it alone. Like, I really don't want to do this alone. I have had the gift of being able to preach every single Sunday if I want to here in Chicago. When I was in Southern California, I got to preach maybe 3 or 4 times a year. I got to disciple a couple people. Being here, I have been released in so many areas. Mm-hmm. And one of the heart things that I have is I don't want to, put anybody in captivity, and I don't want to hold people back from what God made them to be, because I've been there. I've done that. I've been held back. I've been held down. And that was part of the process, and that's not negative on anybody. I mean, in order to understand the glory and the grace and excitement, you've got to understand what suck is. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is.
Amen. Yeah.
So in order for us to understand what feast is, I have to understand what starving is.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of the process. And so for me, it's been such a joy to come out here and to include everybody in this room that wants to be included. I know that sounds really weird, but if God has blessed you and gifted you and talented you in an area, man, let's let God do it.
Amen.
And then at the same time, having those tough conversations when people come to me and go, like, I really feel blessed and talented in this area. And I'm like, no, yeah, I've not gotten that information yet. And so let's wait upon the Lord and see if a miracle happens. And some of you guys have had that conversation with me, and you're like, I hate you. And so next Sunday is going to be low attendance Sunday. Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't have remembered. I'm just joking. Go ahead. Awesome.
But no, thank you so much for giving us that bigger picture. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right. So I do apologize. We are going over a little bit. Sorry, because I can't tell you how much I appreciate these stories. It's been so beautiful, and I hope hearing other people's stories has helped you remember different elements of yours, too, the highs and the lows and everything that God has brought you through to be in this room today or to be watching online today. For the sake of time, I will spare you a lot of details of our story coming out here, but I do want to share that, Pastor Nathan last week shared that we don't always hear from God. Not everybody always hears from God. I personally very rarely do. The call to move out here was probably the loudest physical or spiritual yes I've ever heard in my life. And I grew up in a dance studio where people are screaming at you all the time. So that was incredibly powerful. And we made the mistake of believing we were moving out here to build a church. And as Matt so beautifully said, that might be a little bit of teeny piece of it, and we're here to serve, of course, but God brought us out here to grow us, to change us, to plant us. And it's been awful and painful and stressful, but it's been beautiful because I had no idea what a healthy relationship looked like. I didn't know a marriage could look like this. I didn't know a relationship could look like this. I didn't know faith could look like this. And I think another really important part of my story that I'm coming to realize is that I am very deliberately here to learn from Pastor Nathan. For many reasons and for more that I probably don't understand, I think we are called to learn from specific people in our life. We are brought certain mentors in our life, and I can stand certain that God brought me to learn under Pastor Nathan. And I'm just honored to have that. So I'm going to invite the worship team, the worship pair up. And our application today is really straightforward. Our application today is keep telling your story. Amen. Keep sharing your testimony. Keep sharing the story of Jesus. Because there are going to be things that happen that make us forget. There are going to be things that get in the way, that stress us out, that worry us, that make us anxious. Keep practicing. Keep practicing remembering. We're called to in Scripture, and it's just good for us. So keep practicing. Tell your story. Tell the story of Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you.